Well, from what I've been hearing around in the buzz of the church, I'm not the only one that the old devil's tried to mess with before he got here this morning. Oh, me. Greater is he that is within me than he that is within the world. Have to remind ourselves of that often, don't we? When the old devil tries to run at us and tries to rip at us and mess with us and tear us up and jerk our world apart, we always have to remember who our God is, don't we? You know, my text is going to come out of John chapter 16. God just laid this on my heart a while ago when I was listening to the story of the baptism of your ladies. just listen to Psalm 115. Listen to this. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where now is their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is every one that trusteth in them. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord hath been mindful of us. Woo, don't you praise God for that. God don't have to think on us. He don't have to care about us, but He does it anyway. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Ye are blessed of the Lord which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth hath He given to the children of men. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. Listen, verse 18. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. Folks, praise the Lord this morning. Even though the old devil wants to tear you up, even though he wants to try to rip up your home, even though he wants to try to tear down your family, even though he wants to infiltrate into your church and see how much he can mess up this wonderful thing that God's got going on right here, even though he wants to try to steal, kill, and destroy anything and everything that he can possibly get his hands on, we still praise the Lord because we know that our God is the great God. He is the one and only true God, the mighty God that will take care of us because He promised in His Word, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. So if you're low as a mole this morning, if you're feeling down and out and Satan tried to pound you to death before you got here, lift up your eyes. Look to the hills from whence cometh your help. Your help comes from the Lord. Folks, I could just quit right now and say amen, couldn't I? But I ain't preached a sermon yet. That's just a little commercial, okay? I want to start by saying thank you to your pastor for allowing me this privilege to get to come and preach to you this morning. I love your pastor and his family. I'm so appreciative of a church that loves their pastor enough to let him go take a vacation. Hey, needs a break sometimes. Needs to relax, especially as wound tight as your pastor is. He needs to release every now and then. But I love him so much. He is a dear friend to me, and I'm just thankful. But this morning, you know, it seems like that now more than ever that we're living in an era of crisis, doesn't it? Everywhere we turn, it seems like we just get met with one crisis after another, one problem after another, one heartache after another, one struggle after another. Day in and day out, we seem like we're getting met with difficulties and problems and tragedies and conflicts. You name it, and it seems like we just get hit with it, don't we? I was looking, researching a little bit on this, and I come across this little funny, and I thought I'd share it with you this morning. It's entitled, that there are definite signs that it's going to be a bad day. You know it's going to be a bad day when you go to the office and you find a Fox News team waiting on you. You know it's going to be a bad day when your birthday cake collapses from the weight of the candles. You know it's going to be a bad day when the bird singing outside your window in the morning is a buzzard. You know it's going to be a bad day when your income tax check bounces. And finally, you know it's going to be a bad day when you wake up and discover your waterbed is leaking and then you realize you don't have a waterbed. I think we've all had bad days. We've had things that we would just really love to forget. The crisis that we experience on a daily basis are either going to bring us closer to the Lord or it's going to drive us in the other direction, right? We've all seen it happen both ways, haven't we? As we encounter crisis in our lives, what we need to understand this morning is that God is allowing these crises for a reason, and it's our job to determine what that reason might be. No matter what the crisis may be that comes to our lives, it needs to bring each of us to what I call a crisis of belief. And then in turn, a crisis of belief will cause us to make some responses. Now, what is a crisis of belief? A crisis of belief is a turning point where we decide whether we are going to go on with God and follow God in spite of what's going on and taking place in our life, or whether we're going to turn away from God and go the other way. Now, with that said, we're going to look at how that we are supposed to respond to a crisis of belief. But let me share with you my text that I want to share with you to go along with this message. And that text is in John chapter 16 and verse 33. This is Jesus speaking, where he said, "These things I have spoken unto you that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall..." Did y'all catch that? He didn't say you might, did he? He didn't say it's possible that it could come, did he? He said, "In the world ye shall have tribulation." Boy, it would be awful if he left that verse right there and didn't go on, wouldn't it? "In the world." He didn't say anybody else either, did he? He said, "I have overcome the world." Let's pray. Lord God, I love you today, and I just want to praise your holy name. God, I thank you most of all today, above all the blessings of my life, I thank you for my Jesus. God, I'm unworthy of anything you've ever done for me. Oh, Lord, you saved my soul and you've walked with me all the days of my life and you've blessed me and called me to this wonderful ministry to preach the gospel. And Lord, you've brought so many people and so many churches into my life and so many friends. And God, I just praise you and I thank you for the blessing of you walking with me every day. Oh, Lord, some days are hard. Some days we don't know why. Some days we don't know if we're going to make it. But God, I praise you and I thank you that you've never left me and you never forsake me, because that's the promise of your word. And I thank you that you have brought me to this church to get to preach just one more time. And now, Father, as we study your scripture together, Lord, it is my prayer that you'll be honored and glorified above everything else by what takes place here today. And God, it is my prayer that hearts will be touched and lives will be changed forever, Lord. And God, if there's one who's lost, it's my prayer that they'll be saved gloriously and marvelously changed by the power and presence of Jesus Christ. Now, God, don't let us leave from here the same as we were when we came. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As I said, we're all going to be brought to a crisis of belief in our life where we're either going to decide to go on with God in spite of what's happening, or we're going to turn from God because of what's happening. All of us are going to have that crisis of belief that's going to come into our life at some point. And when we have that, then there's going to be some responses that are going to be made. And we're going to look at three of those responses this morning, okay? The first of those is a crisis of belief will cause us to decide what we really believe about our God. You know, mentally thinking about what we believe about God is easy, isn't it? That's real easy. The hard part is living out what we think that we believe. And what we say we believe about God has to be based on what God's Word says. If what we believe is based on just on what other people tell us, then it's not going to last you a lifetime. And we can't believe God's Word, folks, unless we read God's Word. Listen to me. This book will keep me from sin, or sin will keep me from this book. Do you believe that? We ought to be in this book every day of our life. Now, if we would all tell the truth this morning, this is an oh me instead of an amen moment, we're all not. But we ought to be. We ought to be in this book because this book is God's second best gift that He's given to mankind. The greatest gift that He gave to us is Jesus. Amen. We sung about Him all morning. And I agree with everything we sung about this morning. That's the greatest gift that God has given to mankind. And listen to me, if you don't know my Jesus, you're missing out on the greatest thing in the world. I'm not it. Okay? Believe me, you watch my life long enough and you're going to say, wow, that dude's got issues. I do. You don't believe it? Ask her. She lived with me. She can tell you up front real quick, that dude got issues. No human being is it. You start looking at people and putting people up on pedestals and thinking, do you know what's going to happen when you set a human being up on a pedestal? Sooner or later, somebody's going to kick it out from under them. And when they fall, they're going to fall on you, and it's going to hurt you more than it hurts them. We don't put people up. The only one we have high and lifted up is the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to me, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior today, I can't save you, but I can show you in the book how to be saved, and I can make you a promise from the Word of God that my Bible tells me that if we call upon the name of the Lord, we will be saved. What we believe has to be based on the Word of God. You know, there's so much information out there, it's unreal now. You got all of the TV stuff that's going on. You can find anything that you want to find on the computer. You can find any kind of help. And I'm not saying all that stuff is bad, okay? Because it's good to have research material, but always come back to the Word of God because this is the final authority. And be careful of people who tell you, I've got a new word. Really? Do I have to elaborate on that in this church? I didn't think I did. Be careful. There's a lot of people out there that want to try to mislead you and take you down a path that you don't need to go down. Just stick with the word. All through the scriptures, we see where ordinary people had to decide what they really believe about God. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, we see David as one example. He had to decide what he really believed about God when he confronted Goliath, right? David refused to rely on human wisdom for guidance. He believed that God was the living God and that God is the great deliverer. God used a giant to bring David to a crisis of belief. And in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 33, it tells us what David believed about God. He said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." See, David had already experienced God's deliverance. David already knew what it was to come against a foe and realize he did not have strength within himself as a young boy to kill that lion. He didn't have strength within himself as a young boy to kill that bear. So he already had experienced the fact that God intervened and God helped him and God showed to him that he would take care of him against those evil things that came against him. You know what? David didn't have to fight the lion. He didn't have to fight the bear. What was that? Two sheep? David was out there all by himself. Nobody was going to see it. Nobody was going to know he was the shepherd. All he had to do was say, "You know what? That's only two sheep. I really don't want to risk it. That's dangerous. I think I'll let them have them and go on about their way." David decided before he came to this crisis what he believed about God. Don't you thank God for that passage of Scripture that says that he left the 99 and went after the one? That's the importance of that one. That's the importance of taking a stand against the foe and saying, "Satan, you will not have my children. Satan, you will not have my grandchildren. Satan, you will not have my home. Satan, you will not have my family. Satan, you cannot win because I serve the one true Almighty God, and His hand of protection is over His children, and you can't have them." We live to fight another day. What's your response to the crisis of belief that's happening in your life right now? Are you about ready to quit? Have you thrown up your hands and said, I've had enough, I can't take it anymore? As the old saying goes, tie a knot in that rope and hang on, help's coming. God has allowed this into your life for a particular reason. People don't like it when I say that. You say, "This is awful, this is terrible. Why would God do this thing?" Well, it's not for me to worry about why God is allowing this thing. It is for me to determine, okay, God, what am I supposed to learn through this? How am I supposed to grow through this? What am I supposed to see through this? How am I going to take another step up on that ladder of faith and continue to move on with you? God, what do you have for me? Don't quit. There's nothing but defeat when you go the other way. There's nothing but heartache. There's nothing but struggle. There's nothing but problems when you go the other way. Just hang in there with God. He's our only hope, y'all. Satan don't care about you. He hopes you'll quit. That way he's going to just rip your family up. He's going to rip your home up. And he's going to rip your church up. He's going to rip up your community. Just like he's ripping up the United States of America right now. We've opened the door and let the wolves in. And they're devouring. Most of it through cancel culture. You live like a Christian, you act like a Christian, you talk like a Christian, you walk like a Christian, you hold moral values like a Christian, and we're going to cancel you. We'll put you out of business. We'll make you obsolete. We as Christians are going to have to unite together and say, go ahead and try. We know one mightier than you. What else? Second, a crisis of belief will require a major adjustment to be made on our part. As we come to decide what we really believe about God, then we're going to have to make some major adjustments. A lot of us want God to speak to us and guide us, but we don't want to make any major adjustments in our lives. And biblically, y'all, that's impossible. If we want God to bless and speak to us, we have to be willing to make some adjustments. We can't continue life as usual or stay where we are and go with God at the same time. Every time God spoke to people in the Scripture about something He wanted to do through them, they had to make major adjustments in their lives. You want proof? Look at Noah. Noah could not continue life as usual and build an ark at the same time. Abram, he could not stay in Ur and father a nation in Canaan at the same time. Moses, he could not stay in the desert herding sheep and stand before Pharaoh at the same time. David had to leave his sheep to become king. Peter, James, and John had to leave their fishing business to follow Jesus. Paul, writer of most of the New Testament, he had to give up everything in order to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, what kind of adjustments do we need to make for God to do great things in and through us? I can't answer that for you. Only you can answer that for you. I have to answer that for me. What kind of adjustments do we need to make in our circumstances? Like maybe our job or our home or our finances or our undertakings. What kind of adjustments do we need to make in our relationships? Like family and friends, business associates. What kind of adjustments do we need to make in our commitments? To our family, to our job, to our church. What kind of adjustments do we need to make in our actions? How much that we pray, study, give, serve? Today, our greatest single difficulty in following God may come at the point of the adjustment that we all know deep down that we need to make in our lives. All right, let me wrap it up. Once we have determined what we really believe about God, and we have adjusted ourselves to Him and to His purposes, then God will put us in a position to take action that will demonstrate our faith. When we finally agree with God that His purposes and His ways are the best for our lives, then we will see God do some great things through our lives. The things that we will be able to accomplish for God and for His glory will be amazing. In Luke chapter 10, it records this beautiful experience of Jesus' disciples, Him joining Him in His work. He invited 70 to join Him, if you'll remember. They obeyed and they experienced God doing through them something that they knew that only God could do. You see, when we demonstrate our faith with action, we will see God do things in our church and in our community and our family and in our individual lives that will amaze us, because only He will be able to do it. James tells us that true faith requires action, doesn't he? In James chapter 2 and verse 26, he says, "As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead." What we do, not what we say, especially in a time of crisis, shows to the world what we really believe. It's what we do. Not just on Sunday, but every day, that will show to ourselves and others the level of our faith. You see, because it doesn't have to show God the level of our faith, because God already knows. He's just letting us find out what the level of our faith is. The key is how that we respond to the crisis in our life. Will we allow God to transform us? Or will we just try to handle things ourselves? Today, I asked you, and more importantly, Jesus is asking all of us, what kind of crisis of belief are you experiencing? I believe there is a purpose for every message that God lays on my heart, and I believe that this message is specific to this church for this day. So that tells me that there's some people experiencing a crisis of belief within this body this morning. Hear me, everything happens for a purpose. Could it be that God is allowing this to get us to make some decisions? To decide what we really believe and to get us to make some adjustments in our lives? Maybe God is allowing it so that we could demonstrate our faith to others. There are some things we know, and some of you today know that you need to make some adjustments in your life. What is God going to have to do to get our attention, y'all? There are some things that we don't know, and we don't understand why they came in our life. You ever had those moments where things seem to be going along pretty good, and all of a sudden, boom, where in the world did that come from? Some of you are dealing with those situations right now. You got blindsided. You don't know why it come. You don't know where it came from. You don't know what's going on. You just know that you've been body slammed. Well, listen to Jesus again. Let me back up one verse. John chapter 16, verses 32 and 33. "Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." You're not alone. If you don't get anything else out of my ramblings this morning, hear this. You know that you can be lonely in a crowd? Do you know that? You can be sitting in church with your mask on, and everybody else thinks that everything is wonderful and rosy, and everything's going great, and everything is fine, and inside you are crumbling and falling apart. Well, I want you to know that Jesus doesn't see your mask on the outside. He sees your heart on the inside. And you're not alone. You're not alone. There is peace. There is comfort. There is hope. There is joy. And where you find all of that is in the last part of that verse where Jesus told us, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. I have overcome your pain. I have overcome your problem. I have overcome your troubles. I have overcome the attacks of Satan. I have overcome all of those things. So you can be of good cheer today because Jesus is our great overcomer. Whatever you're dealing with this morning, know this. My God can handle it. I can't. I'm like that song, I'm just a nobody. I can't. I don't have the power, the strength, the skills, or the smarts to handle your difficulties. But I know the one who can. And I want you to know this morning that He loves you. So many people out there trying to paint God up as this mean, vicious, vindictive deity that's sitting up there waiting to squash you. God told this week about a young man, by a young man, that this was his description of the way he felt about God. You've all seen the picture of Jesus standing at the door and knocking. And he said, well, I look at that and I see Jesus knocking and he asked to come in. And I say, why? And he says, to save you. And I say, to save me from what? And he said, Jesus responds by saying, to save you from the awful thing that's coming that I've created for you. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus tells us over and over and over again, He loves us. Yes, there is a hell that is created for Satan and his demons. And people choose to go there every day. But Jesus says in His Word that it is not His will that any should perish, but that all would come to faith through repentance. It's not Jesus' will that anybody die and go to an awful place called hell. If people go there, they choose to, and they have to climb over the cross to get there. So if you die and go to hell today, it is your choice because Jesus has done everything in His power to convince you to accept His sacrifice and be saved. So if you haven't done that this morning, I hope you will. I hope you'll be saved. If you have and you're just sick and tired of the devil just about to beat you half to death, you know, this has always been a very special place for me. I know you can pray anywhere in the world you want to, right? But the altar, it doesn't belong to the church or the preacher or anybody else. This belongs to the Lord. And it's a special place when you can meet with Him here and just come and say, Lord, I need you. So today, whatever your need is, I don't have the answer, but He does. And I can show you in His Word. That's good enough, right? Let's pray together and we're going to have a time of invitation, okay? God, I thank You for letting me preach. Lord, I've preached what You wanted me to preach and said what You wanted me to say. And now, Father, as we come to this invitation time, it is not ours, it is Yours. It is my prayer that I have been very clear on what You wanted me to preach today. And so, Father, it is my prayer that hearts will be touched, lives will be changed, souls will be saved forevermore because of this meeting that we've had here this morning together as Your church body. Bless this time, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.